Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted small business podcast host. I'm here with Tildy and the Destroyer. Why don't you give yourself an introduction and tell us all about yourself?
Well, some of you may know me as Shambeezy. Some of you may know me as Frank Petrelli. Most of you nowadays know me as Tildy and Destroyer, but one thing that everybody needs to know is that I am the resident destroyer, the resident killer, and the guy who's going to serve you everything that you need for the summer. I'm a 34-year-old content creator, musician from Pennsylvania, Central PA to be exact, 717 shout out. And I have the album of the year that's about to drop this summer and definitely provide you the soundtrack to live to.
What is it about music that's drawn you to it?
So music's just always been a big part of my life. Growing up, my mom was heavily into like church and like all the great sounds that come out of there, gospel music, and that always like drew me in. I sung on the choir from ages 5 to 7, and that was a really prolific experience for me. So it kind of made me want to delve deeper into sound. Growing up on sounds like The Temptations, Michael Jackson, The Four Tops, Diana Ross, Tina Turner, just growing up on these sounds definitely inspired me to want to be like these people and emulate what they did. So I started out as a dancer, like a Michael Jackson impersonation dancer when I was young. That was something that I always took pride in. And his music was definitely something that carried like under like wind underneath my wings type deal, like definitely made me want to succeed. It was very inspirational. And the way that he inspired me made me want to inspire others.
Love that. Can you tell me a little bit about some of your musical journey? Where did it start? What was your first album or release or performance where you got out there in front of people?
So my first like project that I've ever put together was in 2010, April 20th, 2010. It was called Night of the Living Nerd Part 1. It was definitely my first time getting my feet wet as far as like professional recording and like putting it out to people and allowing them to digest the material that was in my mind that I was creating. That was just me really like stepping into my own, trying a few things, trying a few sounds, shaking the I sound like this person or I sound like that person that plagued a lot of rappers, you know, at the beginning of our career. But that's when I really first like got out there like, hey, guys, this is what I'm doing. This is who I am. And this is who I'm going to be.
Is going out to live performances something that you're doing on a regular basis? Where are some of the places where you've performed live? And is that your preferred taste? Or do you like to sit back in the studio and have more time to cook?
So we've been a couple of places. I pretty much performed a lot of the Eastern Seaboard. Like I've done Jersey, I've done Virginia, I've done Miami, I've done New York. We've done a lot of those like big towns. We've done Baltimore, Ohio. I've done a lot of places. I prefer both. In all honesty, I really don't mind being able to perform and put on for people and show them exactly what my skill set is and what I like to get into talent wise. It's always been something that I take pride in as far as showing my skill. Cooking in the studio is also something that I don't mind doing. If I had my choice though, I would definitely be on stage. Like it's definitely something that I think is invigorating. Every time I touch it and I see those lights, I just light up in a completely different way. Speaking of such, we're actually heading out on the road here soon. We have a Shannon the Album tour that we're going to be doing. I'll shoot you the materials for that. It's pretty cool. We're heading out to Coatesville. We're going to be in, of course, we're going to do a show in York, Lancaster, Harrisburg. I will be at the Launch Music Conference in September. Excuse me, November. So that's going to be cool in Dallas, Texas. We're going everywhere, man. New York, we'll be in Harlem, New York. So that's going to be pretty cool. Just really trying to get the sound and the album out there because I really feel like I have something for the people, you know?
When it comes to creating this music, is this a totally solo? Are you working with and collaborating with different artists? And what are they bringing to each of the songs in your album?
Collaboration's always been a really big part of what I do. I love to put people on. I love to see people get shine. I love to see people be recognized for the geniuses that they are. So saying that, I say, of course, yeah, there's tons of people involved with the records on this album. We have like engineering from Kason Moore. He's like a really talented kid. He does a lot of music on his own. So if everybody can, go check out his music, K4 SS4N. He's really cool. He does great work engineering, great beat maker. He's great. We also have Ralph Real on the album. He's like a world-renowned person as far as like the independent scene of music goes. He's doing some beat making on the album. He's actually also going to be a feature. Then we have like my usual cohorts, Relo Guapo, which is somebody from the also Central PA area who does great music. Chris Black Beats, he's somebody that's producing on the record and he does phenomenal cuts. Demons in My Head and Oceans are two of my biggest favorites on the album besides Letter to Mama. And I really, really enjoy working with people, man. There's some other folks on there. Shout out Homebase Mook. He's also dropping an album tomorrow on the 5th. So shout out him and his Homebase team. And for motivational purposes only, that's going to be a great album. We're all working together, man.
Tell me about the business side right now of producing music, being an artist, being a creative. What's that structure look like? And if somebody is young, you know, I've got, at the Karate Dojo where I go, I've got a young guy who he wants to put out his album when he turns 18, you know, as soon as he graduates. What advice would you have for him about the reality of the market right now? What are some mistakes you made early on that you think, hey, I could tell somebody and they could avoid that black bit?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, expect to fail a lot. And when I say fail, I don't mean be a failure, but expect things to not work out. Expect disappointments, because this is the game of disappointments. There's two things that this game's made up of: disappointments and smoke and mirrors. So you have to be prepared to be disappointed a lot. Things are not going to work out the way you see them in movies or the way you see it for other artists on the internet. A lot of people have dumb luck, you know, or they just fit into the algorithm perfectly because they actually listen to what the algorithm wants. But if you think you're just going to get in here and it's just going to like blow up overnight, it may. But it's few far in between, you know. You got to be ready to gut out the meat and potatoes and really be prepared to pick yourself up and try again. It's not how hard you fall, but how good you get up. And that's like the biggest thing that I could impart, because so many people get discouraged because by year two, they're not on 106 in Park or whatever it is for these kids nowadays. We had TRL on 106, but you know, like they're not on these blog sites or being covered by academics. Don't do that. And definitely, smoke and mirrors is a big thing, you know?
I'm curious for yourself, what's your game plan? Like, what's, like, from where you are at your home base now, what are things that you're looking to add to your business? What are you looking, do you see yourself as a business or do you see yourself as a creative who has to do business to survive?
Well, I am a business. Because, you know, I have a family. Like, I have a newborn son, Jackson. I have three daughters, three sons. I have stepkids. You know, I'm trying to get married. I have a family, man. So the business aspect of this is really something that has to come first. And that's at times hard for a creative like myself who's so deeply rooted in the love of hip-hop and music. You know, you want to be a soul skater of sorts. Like, you want to do it for the free and you want to do it for when you want to do it. But in reality, it is a business, you know. So saying that, my plans for the summer, we're going to get the merchandise popping. We have our own LLC, Hotel Forever Entertainment. We're going to get the shirts popping through there. You know, Hotel Forever as a brand, whole as a whole, we're going to be taking off in different directions. We have some reggae artists. We have some people who want to make party music. We have the central hip hop heads. And then we have like the pop music. Shannon, the album, which drops June 12th worldwide on all platforms, is really just the anchor to what we're starting. You know, I will be dropping a second project this summer, probably mid to end July, all R&B though, called Still Raining, which is a sequel to my 2022 album, It Can't Rain All the Time. So for the fans of that sound, the 80s sound, the straight up thriller / Purple Rain type sounds, that's where we're making the doves cry, is really on that album. You know, that's pretty much it, man. We're going to be rocking out through the summer. We're going to be touring. We're really going to be living the rock star life.
Tell me a little bit. I understand, and I'm not a lyricist, but I think I see a lot of the storytelling that people bring into their lyrics.
Yeah.
Which means you need inspiration, and it probably means that you have some sort of story that you're trying to tell.
Yeah.
What is that inspiration, and what is that story?
So My inspiration really is, especially on this album, is a lot of emotion, you know, and it deals with loss, it deals with betrayal. I've been through some of the most prolific things in the last 6 years in my life, you know, like I got divorced, I dealt with tons of betrayal, I lost my parents, so that was like a really big, big piece of what this album is. There's a record on the album called Letter to Mama, and that's like one, if you're looking for like who I am, like really who I am, skip to that song. I think it's like track 12 or something like that. But yeah, that's definitely the song that like will describe really where I'm coming from and what my message and motivation is. Like I want to inspire people by sharing my tale and maybe they can relate to it and be able to deal with their own loss and be able to deal with their own betrayals, seeing like, well, wow, this guy went through it and look how he's doing right now. Maybe I can do what he's doing or find my own outlet and inspire others.
Sometimes we see things that are just not right, and we want to speak out. We want to say something. If I gave you a platform, a soapbox to stand up on right now, what's your spiciest, hottest take in society?
Free Palestine.
Pretty concise. when it comes to musical influences and talking specifically about your current album, if somebody were just listening to this, they had no idea what your sound was like.
Yeah.
What are you throwing down and why do you think that they should give it a chance?
Well, I believe that I'm putting down first and foremost the sound of destruction, the symphony of destruction. I destroy every beat that I touch, whether it be a club record, whether it be pop, whether it be R&B, rock, because we got some of that coming this summer too and still raining. Hip hop, lyricism, it's all top tier. It's all top tier, top flight. I've put in the time. I've done my reps. I've done my research. You know, I've worked out lyrically and I'm in the gym every day. I do exercises every day. I write at the very least one rhyme a week. At the very least. And when a lot of people would be like, oh, I do one every day, but how good is it? It's quality over quantity. And my quality's through the roof. And there's a difference between being cocky and confident. I really hate that conversation because it almost seems like we're supposed to not believe in ourselves to be widely accepted by society. Oh, I know what I am and I know what I can do. And I'm now time to show the world.
If there was a question in your mind that you hoped that I would have asked that I haven't asked yet, what is it?
If I could rate my own album, what would it be?
Go for it.
I could rate my own album. I would give it a 12 out of 10. And why would I do that? I would give it a 12 out of 10 because the effort is there. It's not just the records. It's the rollout. It's everything going into this. I was signed to a record label, Rough House / Sony, for the last couple of years. I left my record deal right before this. And I decided to go independent. And this seems to be the best rollout that I've had, including to when I was signed to the label. So this record and everything that went into it at the time, the concise decisions that I've made and putting together my tour and doing everything, this is the way, the quintessential how to be an artist guide independently. This is how you do it. You know, you take baby steps. Again, it may not all be this album. This album could be what steps me to the next album and that album to the next one, getting me to where I need to go. You know, so when it comes down to the record, when I listen to it and I know all that I went through doing it, it's a 12 out of 10. And the story is immaculate because it's there, man. Track listing, sequencing, it's all there.
Love it. I'm curious. It's a big thing in my industry. I'm a SEO consultant, small business consultant.
Yeah.
There's two sides to AI tools right now. There's both the surfacing and discovery part of it, and then the utility as a business owner. Of course, there's a flip side of that of, you know, the replacement of creativity with, you know, the repeatability that we find, you know, like they did a study of creative outputs. They put the same question into like six different AI models and they came out with similar stories. So how are you understanding the impact of AI, LLM tools? Do you leverage them in any way in any part of your business? What are you seeing as a cautionary tale or as something to embrace, even though it might have some downsides?
Well, First and foremost, yeah, I like to toy with AI just on like for some fun. You know, I'll do flyers or covers through there. It's fun. You know, I've went through independent artists in the past. We've worked with some studios that do that. I don't want to replace people's creativity because I hope one day, I mean, there's Suno, this app, but like that shit is nowhere near like real artistry when it comes to like audio. You can tell the difference. But as far as like people who are graphical artists being replaced by AI, I don't know what to say, man. Like it's readily available at our fingers. I would much rather pay into a program and pay for my subscription and be able to create a lot of different things, not just covers and stuff like that, than pay you specifically just for that. And then you got to argue with the artist because they are artists and want to put their own input into it. Or, well, this would look good like this, you know, like it does take a certain interface out of it that a lot of people don't like to interact with. So I'm pro AI, not going to lie.
That's fair. I mean, I've literally got three AI. I've got Claude open, Claude desktop, and so I'm all for it in certain ways, understanding at the same time, you know, the downsides of it. What do you think the impact is of those, you know, Suno songs being out there? Is it going to be distinguishing those true artisans, the people that bring something unique to the table, as soon as people realize, you know, you can technically create something on these apps? You can type in 1 to 2 sentences.
Yeah.
But it's not Mozart. You know, it's not going to give you something that breaks the curve. It's going to come out of a training database that sounds like most everything else.
Well, so the impact of them, I would like to say there is no impact, but I was just on Instagram the other day and like I'm listening to this guy's video. It was like on my For You page and I'm like, this is so fucking dope. And then I go in the comments and it's not him. Like he's like, he made the song on Suno and he looked like he could have been singing it. Like it would not have surprised me if I met this dude and he's like, yeah, I sing R&B. I'd be like, of course you do. But like, no. It wasn't him at all. Not his voice. He literally typed in a prompt. He didn't write the song or anything. So I was like, well, I know some artists also that are like now like using it to write their lyrics, which is fine. It's not a judgment. It's just not the school that I come from. So I personally could never do it. Nor can I have a ghostwriter or anything. I'm too much of a writer and I've ghostwritten myself. But, you know, to each his own. I think it's going to be a wonderless time coming up when it comes to things like that, but I'd like to see where it goes.
It is an interesting conundrum because in some ways, you know, like you can dream up some really insane stuff. Like there's that that goblin guy that makes these shorts of like the future, and there's a cyborg guy and he gets plugged into a dream and it shows like the vision of his dream, but it's all video created. You know, what would have taken, you know, $1 million budget for these shorts. But we now have this video technology that can let you come up and express these creative ideas in this new format. So I'm excited for that aspect. But I also see that flip side. Hey, I don't know. Is this real? Did he write it? It's not. Oh, it wasn't him. Like, that's going to be happening so much more as Instagram and TikTok surface more of this, you know, fully AI created content.
Yeah. I mean, only the future will tell, man. Only the future will tell. I'm just going to sit back, keep making the dope that I make, keep whipping in the kitchen. And, you know, the real will always rise to the top. Cream always rises to the top. And that's where we're heading.
Or the episode drop, are you doing anything special IRL? Got a party? Going to be opening up some champagne?
Well, I actually quit drinking, so I probably won't do that. But what I will do is pop open some Welch's, crack open some RC Cola, something cool. But yeah, we're actually doing a release party next Friday, June 12th, on the day of my album. We're going to be doing something small and intimate here at my house, a beautiful home with my wife, my kids. We're just going to be hanging out. I have some friends and family around. We're going to live stream that and just turn up to the album, man. Maybe a couple of announcements for the summer. I haven't dropped the tour flyer yet, so they're actually hearing about that for the first time on here. But yeah, we're going to be getting that going, and it's just going to be a time. We're going to have a time, man.
Love it. Give a final shout out where people can find you, your handle, Instagram, where's your home base?
My home base is my Instagram. I'm a big Meta boy. I love Meta. So you can catch me on Instagram, unfortunately Facebook. You can catch me on Twitter, Threads. Threads is actually a really cool platform that a lot of people downplay. I kind of dig Threads. We connected. Yeah. Through Threads. Like, I love Threads, man. It's definitely getting up there on my list. You can catch me on Reddit and all the subreddits about pro wrestling. I'm also a pro wrestler. Kind of forgot to mention that.
You kind of skipped that. Okay, hold on. Talk about also being a pro wrestler. What does that, where did that start? Where's your last performance? Tell me.
So my start in pro wrestling goes back to me being 4 years old. I've been watching wrestling for 32 years, excuse me. Yeah, 32 years, a little fuzzy. I was a huge WCW cat. WWF was meh. But once they bought them, I just kept continuing. I'm a lifelong fan. I've never taken breaks. I've always wanted to wrestle. Like a lot of kids grow up watching it, they want to wrestle and stuff. But thankfully, through knowing a bunch of famous pro wrestlers, I got the push to do it. Shout out Swerve Strickland, former AEW World Champion. That's a friend of mine. Shout out Leo Rush, another friend of mine. Matt Sydal, another friend of mine, brought us out to Double or Nothing for AEW. That was pretty cool. AJ Francis, Brianna Brandy, Ashante Adonis, the list goes on. But Shane Taylor Promotions too. Shout out Shane, that's my boy. But yeah, man, like I started wrestling probably August of last year. I wrestle for Valor Pro Wrestling. I've done like backstage commentary for them. There's a bunch of local promotions here that I've worked for. My dream, though, would be working for the NWA. I've had multiple offers to come work on their ring crew, and that's how you get into what they got going on. But I'd like to transition to a managerial role. Talking is what I do best. So that's what I'd like to do.
That's awesome. Any last words before we wrap things up?
Follow your dreams, even if they are to destroy. You know, not all of us can be creators, even if we are content creators. Some of us are meant to destroy. Some of us are meant to be the cleanup crew. And that's what I'm here to do. You know, a lot of people are worried about what's coming and what's on the other side of the door, but I don't worry about knocking because 9 times out of 10, I'm the one who knocks.
So, thanks for your time.
Thank you, man. Take it easy.